Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to give us a word today that I believe God wants us to take note of. In 2 Corinthians, it says, for our light affliction. What is affliction? Affliction means challenges, troubles, problems. You know, everyone in this world has challenges, every person. There's no one that is excluded. You know, one of the things that the enemy tries to do is to make you think that you're the only one going through things. And so when you think you're the only one going through it, it looks tougher than it is, isn't it? So you can imagine if in the whole country you're the only one going through what you're going through. Then it seems like there is no hope. But you look at what Paul says here. He says, our light affliction, it calls all of the problems that he has, it calls it light. Why would you do such a thing? Because Paul actually lets us know in the preceding verses, which you can read when you get home, he said, we are hard pressed on every side. So even though I am pressured on every side, it is what? A light affliction. He says, I am perplexed. In fact, what he says is that we are hard pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. Praise God. So there's a lot of pressure coming against you, but praise God, you are not crushed. How do I know you're not crushed? You got up this morning and you made it to church. So you're winning. Amen. And it says, we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are not in hopelessness. Because if you feel hopeless, you wouldn't come to God. But that's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to feel so hopeless that you say, well, there's no point going to church. There's no point getting up and going to work. There's no point going to school. What's the point? So even though you are perplexed, you are not in despair. Hallelujah. He says, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. So even though you're facing all sorts of persecution and challenges, maybe you're a student, young person, you have aspirations. There are things that you dreamed of, you wanted to achieve as a young person. And you thought, when I get to 16, 17, 18, I will have achieved it. But somehow, it hasn't happened yet. That is like you're facing so much pressure, but you are not forsaken. It's saying that God has not forsaken you. Amen. And Paul goes on to say, we are struck down, but not destroyed. Not destroyed. Now, what is Paul doing? He is weighing his challenges to the good things that God is doing. You see, so you can see your challenges and just see that, oh, well, I'm being persecuted and that's it. But it looks at what God is doing even in the midst of those challenges. Hallelujah. And that's why when it got to verse 17, it says, our light affliction, which is but for what? A moment. Now, listen to me. Every challenge you face, it matters how you call it. You see, what the challenge wants you to do, what the enemy wants you to do, is to make it big. And say, this challenge is so weighty. And this challenge is forever. What's the opposite of light?
Heavy.
The opposite of light is heavy. It's weighty. What's the opposite of moment? Permanent. Because moment means it's temporal, isn't it? Now, that helps me, because if I'm able to look at everything that I face in life as light and temporary, then I'm able to navigate and run through it and face it with faith. Hallelujah. And so Paul said it is light. Now, it is light affliction, and it's for a moment, and it is working for us. It's doing something. While you're going through that challenge, there's something God is working. God is preparing something for you, a far more exceeding, glory to God, an eternal weight of glory. That is, God is bringing something that is heavier than your affliction. Look at what he says here. He says, wait, keep on verse 17. Let's keep it on verse 17. Hallelujah. I'll let you know if you go to 18. He says, far more. So what Paul is doing is he's doing a comparison. Because sometimes in life, what we do, we just stick to one thing. We don't compare. He says, what God is planning for me, in comparison to what I'm going through is what? It's light. It is temporal. And this is important, how we call what we are going through. It matters. What basically, you can say Paul is making light of the situation. He's making, you know what that term is. You can make light of something, or you can make it what? A big deal. And one of the things you can see, maybe you have little children and maybe they see, I know there's some adults who are still afraid of spiders. Are you afraid of spiders? You dislike them. So children will call, I remember when they're growing up, maybe in their room, there's a spider, and then they will run. Maybe the room is upstairs, they run downstairs and say, Dad, there's a big spider. And of course, the spider is it's a gigantic spider. Amen. What are they doing? The problem to them is magnified. Why did they run? Because to them, it is what? It is huge. They wouldn't run if the spider, they saw it as what? Light. And it's only there for what? A moment. It's not going to take residence in your house. Amen. So you can imagine God, when God looks at our challenges, because when the children come and run down to me, I just walk calmly. And I go and I take the spider. Is that Xavier? One of the children is thinking, Pastor, how? You can see. You see, the children are thinking, hey, wow. In fact, you will see that reaction. There were people who reacted like that in the Bible. And I will show you. Because when you face a challenge, say, hey! You know, in Yoruba language, it's a reaction people make. If you want to know how people react to challenges and problems, go to the Yorubas. You say, yeah, paripa. Hey, hey. Have you ever, what word is that? No, it's an exclamation of the weight of the problem. But how does God reason? How does God want his children to act when they see challenges? It is light and it is momentary. It's only for a moment, like a puff, and it goes. Let me show you something. Numbers chapter 13. You see the story of the children of Israel. What did God say to them? He said, he's taking them to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. You see, the land God is taking you to, wherever you're going to in life, your destiny in life, God has already prepared it. You don't work for your destiny. Your destiny is made. See, what you're doing is you are on a journey to get to where God wants you to be. And if you allow God to hold your hand, and if you take God's word as priority in your life, the Lord will lead you, because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. God does not say you shouldn't use your understanding, but don't lean on it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, God is the one who can direct you to that place. And part of the way he will direct you is that he doesn't want you to be afraid. You see, fear will stop you from reaching your goal in life. And so all of the word of God is to bring you to that point where you are not afraid and you are traveling effortlessly. You know what David said? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You see, when you go through challenges, don't be scared, don't be afraid, because the Lord is what? is with you, and that valley of the shadow of death, what is it? It is light, and it is momentary. Moment, for a moment. You know, it says, though I walk through. See, when you walk through something, it's not your destination. You're only passing through. It is light, it's momentary, as long as you have the shepherd with you. Amen. So they told him and said, we went to the land. So they were asked to go and spy the land. The land was already theirs, but God said, go and spy it, and I want you to walk into the land. So we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. So God, you're right. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Next verse. Nevertheless, see now. See now. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, they are what? They are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Keep going, 29. The Amalekites. Now, what are they doing now? They are describing the problem. They are saying that even though it flows with milk and honey, and there are people like that, you know, are you like this? Every time you see something, it looks nice. However, but. You know, there are people where you are today, maybe 10 years ago, you wanted to get there. 10 years ago, you were praying to be where you are today. There are people who were praying to get married. And now they are married. They say, but. There are people who wanted to have children. They couldn't wait to have children. Now they have children and say, but. These children, you meet your friends. You said it's trouble, trouble, trouble. How can the children that you wanted to have, how can they be trouble? Do you know the Bible says you will have whatever you say? Do you know anything you say becomes what you see? Come on now. Do you know that the power, your words have more power than your eyes? Your words. They are more powerful than your eyes. You can see something good with your eyes, and you use your mouth to call it bad. Come on now. It's good. Everybody can see it. And you say, no, it's terrible. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as a pastor, I meet a lot of people. In fact, by the time I hear all of the things that is happening in their lives, I'm rejoicing inside me for them. And then they say, Pastor, but I'm rejoicing for the things God is doing. Because what you are saying has more power than what you are seeing. Because words are spiritual. And so it says, they said the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell. Look at how many people dwell there. Did God not know that those people dwell there? But it says, I have given it to you. Next verse. Verse 30. Then Caleb, look at what Caleb said. Did Caleb go with them? Oh, yes. There were 12 spies. 10 returned and gave a bad report. They all saw the same thing. Do you know in life we all see the same thing? But we are saying different things. We're saying different things. It matters what you say. So then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and do what? And take possession, for we are what? Well able to overcome it. This is powerful stuff. Some came back and said, we saw the sons of Anak, we saw the Amalekites, we saw the Hittites, we saw the these and these, we saw the giants in the land. But Caleb said, keep quiet, keep quiet, keep quiet. See, let's go at once, for we are what? Well able. What is Caleb doing? He's making light of the situation. Our light affliction, which is what? Momentary. It's a light affliction. It is in comparison to what God is doing. Just for you alone, it is not light. To you alone, it's a big problem. But when you compare it to the power of God, when you compare that spider to my own ability, see, if that child looks at a spider based on their own ability, it's a giant spider. But when you think of daddy, then it is what? Nothing. Praise God. So he said, we are well able to overcome it. Keep going. Verse 31. And then he says, but the men who had gone up with him said, can you see what is happening here? We are not able. Why are they talking like this, that they are not able? Everything, you see, if you see it wrongly and you call it wrongly, you will not be able to overcome it. Anything you magnify that is heavier than you with your mouth, you can't overcome it. There's no way. They had no chance, even though God was on their side, even though God had given them the land, because they were using their mouth to say it is not right, it is heavy, they won't go. Because what happens is your words begin to affect your behavior. Do you know that you respond to your words? If you say, well, I'm sick, 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 if you keep saying it, the body will respond. I said to you last week that the doctors now, when they're going to carry out operation, they've been asked, when they're carrying out operations, they've been asked to say positive words concerning that operation to the client. They shouldn't say, you know, don't use the word acute, degenerate condition. See, once you say acute, the patient say, oh, I'm in trouble. But when you say, we've got to make some changes, the patient thinks, they're just going to make some changes. Amen? Hallelujah. Because what you call it becomes what it is. So he says, we are not able to go up. How can one person say we are able to go up and 10 people say we are not able? How can 10 of them be afraid and 2 people not afraid? Because Caleb and Joshua were not afraid, but 10 were afraid. They couldn't even look at them and say, we are 10. How can these 2 people believe it? And we 10 cannot believe it. So he says, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are what? Stronger than we, you see. They are comparing the people to themselves. They are not thinking of the God who said, I have given you the land. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is what? Is a land that devours its in. Now, you see, every time you put too much weight on a situation, you will lie. Oh, my wife says exaggerate. Does that sound better? But exaggeration can be what? A lie. Because you see, it's just like I want to report that someone has done something wrong to me. When I go and report the person to my sister here, maybe they just touch me. Say, do you know what she did to me? She slapped me. You know why? Because I want to give weight to the problem. My God. And so what is happening? He said it divorced the people there, that land divorced the people. How come they came back alive? How did they return alive if that place divorced everybody in the place? And all the people whom we saw there are made of what? Grace. That cannot be. It cannot be that in that land, everybody was a giant. Next verse 33. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like what? We were like grasshoppers. You know, a lot of times, you diminish what you have. Do you know if you have a room, you can magnify it? If you have a roof over your head, one room? There are people, you see, it's possible for you to be rich and think you are poor. Why do you think a lot of people cheat even after they make billions? Have you heard about this? Is it the gas companies and all of that? All the executives? How much billions did they? Is it Shell? How many billions did they make? Billions. Did they share it with you? No, they're actually asking you to pay what? More. To pay more so that they can earn what? More billions. Why is that? That billion, see, they already have yachts. They already have private planes. They already have houses. They have everything they need. Why are they still going? You see, in their head, they still don't have enough. And that's when greed comes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so he says, so we were in their sight, what? We were like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, I want to show you something, why it is important to put the right weight on things. See, weight matters to God. What you call something matters to God. Proverbs 20, verse 10. Proverbs 20, verse 10. This is a teaching that really should be stretched for a long time. But because of time, I'm going to summarize it for you. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 10, it says, unequal weights and unequal measures are both alike, what? An abomination to the Lord. That is, if you, this is something they used to do. Have you got a weight for me? Have you got a scale that you can display? Do you know how scales were? They still have some of them. You know what? You see the, can you see it clearly? So you have what they used to have in those days because they didn't have currency. And of course, they didn't have cash machines. So when you wanted to buy a product, they would put a weight. So if it's, they had a weight for flour, a weight for different things. So they would put the weight there. And then you will put your money. Can you see? You keep putting money on it. So whatever, when it is balanced, that's the amount you pay for that weight. That's the amount you will have to pay. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how they determine the price that you will pay for an item. So what the people used to do, with the Bible says that unequal weight and balance is an abomination to the Lord, is that they will put something heavier for that price. So really, if it was to, can you imagine if you've been going to the shops to buy things? Even if it's 20p that has been put on it, and for 1 year, do you know how much that is? So what the people will do is that they will put the weight, they will load heavy weight there, so you have to keep putting so much money, so something that should have cost you 10 pounds, you end up paying 20 pounds for it. Now there's a difference, because the person who is selling should have their profit, isn't it? This is not about profit, this is about making you pay far more than you should pay for an item. So he puts weight, so God says, unequal weights and balances, they are what? They are, and I don't like it, they are detestable to me. I don't like unequal weights. So now, if you have a challenge, maybe a challenge in your home, a challenge in your studies, you are going to be loading it, isn't it? You are loading weights too. So if you are loading it and saying that challenge is level, let's say level 20, and God says the challenge is level 1, but you say, no, God, it is 20. But God keeps telling you, no, that challenge is what? It is light and momentary. But you say, no, it's not light and momentary. It is heavy. That's exactly what those people are doing. They say, we saw giants there. God said, no, those people are nothing to you. Are you getting the point now? So God said, it is an abomination to me for me to call something light and you call it heavy. And you know what resulted? The people could not inherit the promised land because they kept loading the weight. They kept loading the weight, and the thing was too weighty for them. They could not overcome it. Hallelujah. Amen. What are the things that you are loading up? That's the question. Are you loading up things in your studies? You know, there are students who say, well, it's too hard. It is too, but what does God say about it? It is, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When you say that, what happens to the thing? It becomes light. Because you are weighing it against what God said. He says, this sickness, some people will go on Google and Google that sickness. And Google say, oh, if you have this challenge, it's over. Now, Google puts weight on it. But what does the word of God do? It makes light of it. I told you that, you know, before we got married, I keep sharing. The reason I share my testimonies is so that you will know that God is able to do all things. Before we got married, 1993 we got married. And just before that, I think some months before that, I got completely paralyzed on one side of my face. And what I want to say is that I worked with a person at work, my colleague at work. And when he saw me, because we were both salespeople, we used to go out for sales, and I couldn't go out and sell anymore because you couldn't go to clients like that. And he said, "Do you know I'm a twin?" I said, "I didn't know you were a twin." "No, this thing that happened to you is what killed my twin brother." Can you, what he's doing? He's putting weight on it. Well, thank God for the word. If I had listened to him, that thing would have killed me. Because what will I do? I will go home and be waiting for the day of the Lord. The Bible says, by his stripes, you were healed. See, when you say that, it makes light of it. The word carries more weight than every problem. Whatever God says has more weight than any challenge you can ever face in life. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to hear the word, so we can hear the one that God is saying. And we use what God is saying over every challenge and every situation we will ever face in life. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, unequal weights and unequal balances. They are what? An abomination to God. God doesn't like it. He wants you to say it as he says it. Praise God. You know, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. Let's look at it quickly. 2 Kings, verse 13. I say, I was going to show you that what that child said. What did the child say? Yeah. Hey! You see, it's in the Bible. So he said, go and see where he is. So they're looking for Elisha because they want to arrest Elisha. The king is not happy with him, the king of Syria, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Verse 14. Therefore he sent horses. Now listen to this. To one man. He sent horses and chariots and what? A great army to one man. There. Now, if somebody sends chariots and horses and a great army to you, you will run and leave town straight away. The moment the news comes to you, you're going to check out. Look at this. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, what? Alas, my master. What is alas in our own language? Ay! Ay! Oh, no. You know, people say, oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, my God. You got it right. Oh, my God. Trouble. He said to him, and I want you to weigh this against every challenge you face. It could be in your work. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your relationship. It could be in any project you're about to undertake. Maybe that thing is staring you before your face. Maybe it's an aspiration that you've had for many years, and you're looking at it, and you're saying, alas, oh no, hey. He says, alas, my master, what shall we do? See, what did he ask? What shall we do? Now, the first thing you should ask is not what you should do, but what you will say. Because what you will say will determine what you will do. And many times we look at what we will do first, but our words dictate our actions. You can try to do the best things, but if you keep saying the wrong things, it will affect your actions eventually. Amen? And this is something I want to say to people, maybe those who are married, those who have children. Don't say bad words against your children. I'm telling you. You say, but they behave naughtily. No, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Keep saying good things. You know, the Bible says, as obedient children. He calls you obedient children. Are you obedient? So why is he calling you obedient children? He's saying you are obedient children because the spirit of obedience is in you, even though you have been influenced by many things to do the wrong thing. Hallelujah. Your children are capable of doing the right thing. When you speak those words begin to make them act what you are saying. Do you know that you have authority over your children? anybody under you. So sometimes people, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You say the child is naughty, the child is a thief. You know, people even call their children thieves. You should never say that. Say the right words, and what you say, you will eventually see. Amen. Okay, so and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went what? He went out. There was an army surrounding the city. So he also saw. Did they see the same thing? With horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Verse 16. And he answered, "Do not what? Do not fear." See, every challenge in life that you consider weighty will bring fear. And fear will stop you from achieving your goal in life. Say, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." What is he doing? He's making light of the situation. He's giving weight to what God says. Because God has said, "I will be with you, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you." So how big is God? How big is he? He's huge. Amen. Hallelujah. For those who are with us, I can imagine the servant will say, "Okay, one, two. What's wrong with my master? He doesn't know mathematics." You know, the word of God is not mathematics. It's beyond maths. The word of God is beyond what the medical practitioners say. Amen. Yeah, we take what they say because it's what they have seen. But we have to give weight to what God has said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give weight to what God has said. Put everything else, make it light. You know the reason why, you know, the weights are put on those things, heavy weights. You know the reason is to deceive you and to cheat you. So if I know somebody is going to deceive me and cheat me, what will I do? I have to go for the one that God says, because what God says is the truth. He says, "I am who you say I am." Hallelujah. And let's look at one more scripture. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Numbers 14, verse 9. Thank you, Jesus. Numbers 14, verse 9. He says, these people came back and told, because the people who said they were like grasshoppers, you know what they did? All the people started crying. Based on the evil report, the whole camp, this is over 2 million people crying because of the bad report, because of the weight they gave to the problem. Do you know that you can demoralize people by how much weight you give to challenges? You can demoralize anybody when you give weight to challenges. Many people today, it's not what they are facing that is their problem, it's what they heard. The media, you listen to them and listen to them, you won't know what, you see, you just woke up and ate nice breakfast. You ate good lunch, and you had a lovely dinner. And then you watch the telly, say people can't feed anymore. They can't eat anymore. Instead of you to thank God that even if that is happening, you pray for those who are going through it, and you thank God that you are able to eat, you say, "Oh, we can't eat anymore." But you just finished a bowl of pasta and there and stuff. You just ordered pizza. They just delivered it to you. You just ate it. And you say, "Oh, nobody, we can, no more food to eat in the land." You're giving weight to it. The enemy is happy that you're giving weight to it. Because the more you give weight to it, the more you begin to see the reality of what you say. Only do not rebel against the Lord. See, that's what he said. Because God doesn't like you to put the wrong weight. Nor fear the people of the land, for they are what? They are bread. They are making light of the situation. From today, start making light of every challenge that you face. He says, our light affliction, momentary, is only temporary. It's not going to remain forever. There was a time we didn't have children. Now we have 4 children. It didn't last forever. There was a time you didn't even have a job. Now you have one. You say, "But it's not a good job." But it's a job. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put weight on it. The weight of God's word. Put it on that situation. And make light of the situation. Praise God. It says, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Praise God. You know what God said to Peter? God said to him, "Do not call common what I have made clean." Don't call it. He said, "Lord God, that is unclean. It's unclean." God said, "I have cleaned it. Anything that I have cleaned, you don't say it's unclean. You don't say it, praise God." So right now, I want you to begin to declare every challenge that you are facing right now. Start making light of it. Start making light of it. Whether it is a project that you're involved in, if it is your studies, those who are in school, children start saying, "Lord, I thank you because you make it light. I can do it. I am more than able. It is not big, it is light. It is momentary, it is temporal." Maybe you're facing exams that are coming up and you're afraid, you're scared, or maybe you've even done the exams and you didn't get the results that you wanted. It's still light. The one that is coming, the Lord is with you. Maybe it's your marriage issue. "Father, I thank you because you are with me. You are with me. If God be with us, who can be against us?" Don't elevate those bills. They are light, light and temporal. The Lord will supply every need in the name of Jesus. If it is children's issues, business matters, accommodation, if it's parents' issues, make light of it. Thank you, Father, because you're the one who called those things that be not as though they were. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. They are light and they are temporal. We give weight to your word. It's what you say that matters. It's what you say that will happen for us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.